This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Wednesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the four-hour deflector shield shindig. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Texas to Tuscaloosa, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. Hey, you're on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current one, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. How we doing, everybody? Good show lined up for you this morning.
Oh, okay.
We've got the great Charles Davis from the NFL on CBS, who's going to drop on by the show coming up hour number three. Charles Davis is on the call this weekend with Ian Eagle and Evan Washburn. Bills, Patriots, prime time. This one's supposed to be really cold in Western New York, perhaps a storm a brewing as well. So we'll talk to Charles Davis about this AFC East matchup. Can the Patriots go to Buffalo and do it again as they won on Monday night a couple of weeks ago, now a couple of months ago, by only throwing three passes? Or will Josh Allen of the Bills pull the trick they did when they went to Foxborough a couple of weeks later? He's going to join us hour number three. Also, it's a Buck Ballou time. He was the quarterback of the 1980 national champion, Georgia Bulldogs. Last time Georgia, of course, had won the national championship before Monday night. And so we'll talk to Buck about the memories and about this new team and about where Georgia's positioned moving forward as they get another trophy in that trophy case for the first time in four-plus decades. Elsewhere this morning on the show, yet another dramatic reading of Meraz's journal, which, let me tell you, Pete has stepped up in a big way and signed on to one-day contracts, a series of burgeoning DA show legends. And today is no different. I love the myriad voices. I love the different personalities. I love having legends of the game join us, like Tiki, to reenact Meraz's journal. So we'll do that coming up on the show as well. That'll be hour number two. Sports-wise, the Rams worried about road fans this weekend in the playoffs? Which road team has the best chance for an NFC or AFC wildcard upset? We look at the SEC picture later on this hour after Georgia's win in the national championship game. And the weather in Buffalo, we circle and discuss because that's a biggie between the Bills and the Patriots. That's all coming up this morning on the show. But wouldn't you know, nearly 2 years to the day, 2 years and one day after Meraz's incredibly impassioned, confident, rant about how the Giants were back, baby. They're not going to be able to pull off the stuff that they pulled off with Pat Shurmur. Joe Judge is here. He's a blue-collar guy. Let me tell you, this Joe Judge speaks for us, the blue-collar fan, and they won't be able to pull off what they used to pull off anymore. We got our guy. Cowboys, we're coming for you. Eagles, we're coming for you. We got Super Bowls to win. 2 years ago, 2 years and one day, 2 years and one day, Meraz sat here with a knit Giants hat that was actually designed as a helmet, pulled it over his face like a cat burglar, and pointed his chubby finger in my eye. Let me tell you something. This Giants franchise is back. This guy's only 38 years old. We got 20 years of this guy. Let me tell you. He speaks for me, the blue-collar worker. I'm a man on the griddle. Okay, this football team is back. I can't believe how lucky we got, okay? I can't believe how lucky we got. Who's Matt Rhule? Matt Rhule, take a hike. We got Joe Judge. This guy could be our Tom Landry. And let me tell you something. How do I know this word for word? Because I watched it three times yesterday. And today, Joe Judge is out of a job. Why did the Giants ultimately can the Judge? It is where we begin. Your cold open.
Does this group give us a chance to win the Super Bowl? Are we moving in that direction? If the answer to that is yes, then we're not going to consider making any changes. If I feel like we're going backwards, you know, that's another discussion.
There's a number of things right there that, you know, I've got from this year that I absolutely understand that, you know, sometimes more valuable lesson is you learn what you can't do again or what you can't allow to happen again, okay? So I file everything, okay? I file everything in terms of what I learned. Everything's an experience. Everything's a lesson.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heart-rending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
What you heard there was John Mara actually preseason talking about what he needs to see from Joe Judge to retain him. As of Christmas, Joe Judge was coming back. But the last couple of weeks were so embarrassing. They were so ugly. They were so gross. They were so embarrassing and humiliating for a proud franchise that they felt like they had to make a move. But why didn't they do so immediately on Black Monday? Well, from what I gather, there were two things at play. Number one, they went to Joe Judge and they laid out, this is Tish and Mara, co-owners of the Giants. They laid out what they wanted moving forward and what would happen with Joe Judge's role and what would happen with the new GM. And from what I gather, Joe Judge came back the next day, and because he's remarkably stubborn and inflexible, was like, that doesn't work for me. Now, how much that played into this decision, who knows? It's a percentage. The other part of this is that they obviously are fishing for a new GM. I think they spoke to potential GMs, and the GMs that they wanted all said, we don't want Joe Judge. And to the Giants' credit, instead of square peg round hole of, okay, even though we don't necessarily make this GM hire our number one choice, we'll find a guy who will keep Joe Judge at least for a year. They cut bait with Joe Judge instead, which is the right move. I think those are the two things in play. Joe Judge has a really high opinion of himself. Very few people share that, though. Other GMs clearly didn't think he was all that impressive. And I think that there was a split in the locker room. I think some players thought he was a nice guy. He was trying his best. And others thought that he was completely in over his head. There was always an issue with the hiring of Joe Judge. And that is he was a 38-year-old first-time head coach who had never been a coordinator. And I think it's really, really hard to figure that that type of guy works when you've got a huge rebuild and you do it in the number one market for a franchise that's one of the most storied in the sport. That combination doesn't usually work. He was a special teams coach. This is not to demean anybody on any staff. And people will bring up John Harbaugh. Harbaugh had a longer, he had more experience. He also was not going into the beast of a market, and he came from coaching stock. The Harbaugh's dad was a longtime head coach. Jim Harbaugh, his brother, obviously, is a head coach and wanted to become a head coach. John Harbaugh is also an anomaly. Special teams guys don't wake up and suddenly become great head coaches. The Giants got dazzled for two reasons. Number one, Patriots ties. They've always loved Bill Belichick because he was a former Giant and thought, we'll pluck the next great one off of this tree, even though that tree only keeps producing rotten apples. The second thing is that Joe Judge talks a good game. The reason Mraz was whipped into a frenzy 2 years ago was because most of the Giants fan base was as well. And I sat here and rolled my eyes because talk is cheap. Not just about Mraz. Mraz is the most charismatic of the Giants fans that got whipped into a frenzy, but everybody was whipped into a frenzy. And I rolled my eyes saying, okay, so he wins a press conference by saying all the things people want him to say. Toughness, hard nose, blue collar, blah, blah, blah. It's easy to rattle off all the things people want to hear. You gotta do it. And I don't care who wins what press conference. When you hire a 38-year-old first-time head coach who's never even been in control of an offense or a defense, guess what? You've already got like seven blocks stacked against you. At least when you rise to offensive or defensive coordinator, you've had some semblance of control over a game day operation on a significant portion of the game plan. Like the special teams coordinator has absolutely no control over what happens going into an important week, an important game, a certain matchup. He can draw up, okay, this is going to be our fake field goal. Okay, we're going to have to block the punt like this because they've got a good punt block team on the right side. But, I mean, organizing special teams, I mean, it's like rolling out the balls at dodgeball. It's nothing. Now, if you're a coordinator and you've got a game plan, this is where my 11 guys have to be on the field to defend Aaron Rodgers so that we don't lose, or this is where my 11 guys and my quarterback have to run this offense and make sure we beat Bill Belichick's defense. Now, that's something. But he was in his 30s, first-time head coach, and had never risen above special teams. Guess what? Within a Patriots organization where nobody has any control over everything except Belichick. Plus, he's a, yeah, come punch me. Come punch me. I want the fight. That ain't going to work, okay? It's easy to say, it's hard to do. So this was always a losing proposition, which is why I've said time and time again, I have very little respect for Joe Judge. He talks a good game, doesn't back it up. He says, I'm a direct guy. Then he's evasive. He says, tough guy, tough guy, tough guy. But then he goes out of the field and coaches like a JV coach. And he says all the things every gym teacher ever told us. That's not an NFL head coach. Now, I'm going to defend him here for a moment. If they were going to bring him back as of Christmas, and they flipped their decision on that based on the last 4 weeks, well, the last 4 weeks weren't the Giants. They had Mike Glennon and Jacob Fromm. So how fair is it to flip bringing him back versus firing him when you're doing it with the second and third string quarterbacks? That's not fair. If they were going to bring him back on Christmas, nothing that happened in the final 4 weeks should have flipped that. Do I think he was embarrassing at the podium? Yep. After that Bears loss, yes, he was embarrassing. That's who he is. Do I think that quarterback sneaks on 2nd and 11 and 3rd and 9 from inside your own end in a completely meaningless Week 18 game is embarrassing? Yes. But again, those two play calls, flip one to bring him back versus firing him, that I think is silly. And that's why I don't necessarily trust going in a new direction, because these are the people making the ultimate decisions. Will they hire the right GM? Who will hire the right head coach? Who will make the right draft picks with multiple number ones? I got a tough time being sold on that. I think Judge dug his own grave because he just seemed overwhelmed all of the time. And they were wretched. And he fired Jason Garrett and the offense got worse. And he got into a near fist fight with his offensive line coach, Mark Colombo, last year. Obviously, that's a bad look. There were some extenuating circumstances around him. But ultimately, he's never going to be a really good head coach. So I don't think you worry about losing a great guy. I just think that it's once again spinning your wheels in New York, because what's the decision-making process there? A month ago, Joe Judge is your guy. A month later, no way. We got to move on. Here's your phone number, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, and on Twitter, DA on CBS. Okay, yesterday, Merez, is this a good day for your Giants or a bad day for your Giants as you wear that ultimately ridiculous Giants knit helmet hat?
It's a good day for the Giants. Is my mic still bad?
It's very hollow, but that's okay.
Okay, it's a good day for the Giants because they're finally going outside the organization, getting a head coach and a general manager aligned with one another.
Which is something you've wanted for a while.
Yes, absolutely had to be done, and frankly should have been done 2 years ago.
So you were relieved when you heard the news?
Yes, because I felt as if they didn't fire Judge, they were only going to hire directly people that work with him, and that's not casting a true wide net and getting the right general manager.
You still think, though, that Joe Judge is going to be a good head coach?
Yes. Now, I think it's going to take a long time to rebuild himself, and I think the last couple weeks of press conferences haven't helped him. But, yes, ultimately, I think Joe Judge was dealt a horrible hand here, and I think he is a good football coach and will get an opportunity, whether it's a head coach in college or the NFL. Once again, he's still very young. And I think he ultimately will have learned from this and be a good head coach, yes.
What makes you think he could be a good head coach?
Well, I've seen him over 2 years outcoach Pete Carroll, outcoach Sean Payton, outcoach Andy Reid, get the most out of his team when they were dragging dog turds around the field, and in the end had to muck up a lot of games and play sloppy because, as several scouts have said, they still have gone backwards on the offensive line, and the biggest problem with the team was the offense, the one side of the ball the owner forced on him with Jason Garrett and his entire offensive system. He was hamstrung from the beginning. A general manager with all the power and an offensive coordinator and the whole one side of the ball being directly linked to the owner, that's very difficult to play good football and do things the way you want to do it as a head coach when you're stuck with that.
Do you think that this offseason will you have good candidates for the job at GM? Or do you think that there's going to be GMs that are highly considered but leery of this job because of all of the turnover and a bad roster?
I think they would have been leery of the job if they were forced to keep Judge and they would have walked away. I don't think that's the case. The Giants now have 2 top 7 picks this year. You don't get that. You don't walk into a situation with 2 top 7 picks. That's an enormous amount of assets. So I think they will ultimately get the right general manager that they believe in. Now, they could still whiff on it completely, but some of the names and from the organizations they've talked to, I think this is headed in the right direction.
I wonder what the next step for Judge is, because he can't go back to being a defensive coordinator because he's not a defensive coordinator. Does he go from head coach at 38 to at 40 years old, the special teams guy in Dallas?
I mean, he could. He also coached like positional groupings of defenses on top of special teams. Like, he was a linebackers coach. It's not just like he has a complete background in special teams. He's coached everything under Saban and Belichick, just hasn't formally been an offensive or defensive coordinator.
Okay.
So he's probably a positional coach on the Patriots next year.
So he becomes linebackers coach with the Patriots.
Something like that, yeah. Like, if Gerard Mayo goes and Patricia moves up, boom, there's Judge back with New England like so many of these guys are. Or he's back with Saban as his special teams coach, something like that.
Oh, God. Going from head coach in the NFL at 38 to 2 years later, the linebackers coach with the Colts, or the special teams coach in Alabama. Mm. By the way, as I mentioned, Pete, 2 years ago, Mraz had his very emotional defense of Joe Judge's hire. What do you say that at some point this morning, and maybe sprinkled throughout the morning, we play a few of our favorite clips from that?
Oh, they're in the queue. They will be, when we come back from breaks, you will be hearing them throughout the course of the program, starting at the end of this hour.
Okay. All right. Well, that's something to look forward to, because it's one of the great rants, emotional rants ever. Mraz points at us. Points, wags his finger. You'll see. You'll see. I tweeted this out last night because, of course, both Bogues alerted me to this because it popped up on Facebook memories 2 years later to the day, basically. And Cap reposted the video yesterday because Cap always knows when to drop those hammers.
I think you all need lives. I think that's what this is. It's ridiculous.
How
just
so?
Bury things and leave me alone. I dig enough holes throughout the years. I don't need 2 year holes, Doug.
Absolutely not.
So you can check that out on Twitter. I tweeted that last night. The entire 9 minutes is really special, but we'll sprinkle those as part of rejoins coming back from break throughout the morning here on the show. When we come back, we've got your sound check, your best audio of the day. We've got Gronk mic'd up trying to get himself that $1 million bonus, and a former Bears offensive lineman going after Bears ownership on Chicago Sports Radio, calling them liars. It's next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Now, remember, you can always watch the show at watchda.com. You can check us out there. That's mobile friendly. You can also watch us at your leisure on Twitch as well and join the conversation on Twitch with other D-Aliens. That's the CBS Sports Radio channel on Twitch. We begin with Nick Saban. Monday night's press conference after the loss, he had a pair of his superstars on the stage with him, Bryce Young, quarterback Will Anderson. Both players could actually be top five or top 10 picks in next year's NFL draft. They're going to be coming back for 2022. And Saban stopped the press conference to give those guys some love.
Bryce and Will, thanks for your time. We'll let you head back to your locker room.
I'd like to say something. Can I say something?
Absolutely.
You know, these two guys that are sitting up here, they're not defined by one game. These guys played great for us all year. They're great competitors. They were great leaders on this team. And they contributed tremendously to the success of this team. And we would not be here without them. All right, and both of them take responsibility for the loss, but both of them contributed in a lot of ways in a positive way to giving us a chance to win and a chance to be here to have an opportunity to win. So I just want to thank them for that and let everybody know how proud I am of these two guys.
So I've grown to really enjoy and appreciate Nick Saban in his older years. I mean, I don't want to act like he's 80 or 90 years old at this point in time, but he's getting up there. Who knows how much longer he'll do this? And I think there's been a softening that has happened. And I think that he feels to me to be less harsh and less edgy and less defiant at this point in his career than he once was. And a moment like that shows a certain touch. Now, he's extremely calculated, and so he knows image is important. He's got that Aflac duck commercial. He's quacking alongside a cute animal. But what it shows to the world, what it shows to other recruits, what it shows to other families of recruits is a softer touch with a young man who just dealt with a loss, and he's giving them a moment in the sun. Instead of just shuffling them off the stage after a loss, and then they get criticized or the team gets criticized, hey, I want a moment to give them some shine. And it's tactical, but it's also endearing. It's also thoughtful. I also think that in Alabama's world, if you don't win a national championship, you're seen as failures. And that can be kind of brutal on young men who, if that's your barometer and you fall short of it, you've still had a wonderful season. And so you kind of want to stop that in its tracks. I think that's maybe the one danger Saban senses is that, oh, suddenly Bryce Young's the guy that we couldn't win a national championship with. Then people have that as a mark against him because he did not play very well on Monday night. He had a lot of pass attempts, but ultimately was harassed the entire night by a Georgia defense that really had his number. So I think that's also a moment where Saban says, let's not go crazy. Great season. Play to the national championship game. We led that title game in the fourth quarter. These guys are good players. Let's not rain on them. So I just thought it was thoughtful. I thought it was good. I'm sure it's tactical. But I've liked Saban as he's gotten older. And he's had some of those moments. Here's Gronk. This audio is courtesy of NFL Films as Gronk is mic'd up. And remember, on Sunday against the Panthers, Gronk has two bonuses he's trying to hit. Catches and yards, each are worth $500,000. Must be nice. So he's in line for a cool $1 million bonus as long as he hits both of those incentive marks. And Brady stayed in the game until he hit both of them.
Go, I need one more. Yeah. If I don't get the seventh catch, I have to go get a real job.
All we got to see is Gronkowski get his catch here.
What does that mean? Cha-ching. Gronkowski has his catch bonus.
Tom, good pass, dog.
Thanks, baby.
Yeah, thank you, dog.
You just got a milli?
Yeah, I
got
you
a milli.
You just got a milli? Oh, I got a milli. We going. Where we go?
To the city.
Yeah, we going to the city. We going to the city.
To the city.
I got a milli. We're going to the city. Mraz is rolling his eyes. He's shaking his head. He hates this. What do you hate about it?
How? You want to talk about disrespectful? He literally says, I'm going to have to go get a regular job. Because you don't get the $1 million on your 80th catch? And all this Tom Brady, oh, look how much he helped him out. Giselle's got like $7,000 million sitting in her bank. Just hand him $1 million and get out of the game and avoid injury. I'm so sick of both of those turds. Absolute turds. And I hate the Eagles. I hope they stomp their hearts out Sunday. Get them out of the playoffs.
Wow, you are rooting for the Eagles.
I am, and I never do that. Now, ultimately, I know the Eagles ain't going to win a Super Bowl anyway, but get Tom Brady and Gronk out of here. I am so sick and tired of both of them. Just losers. Like the whole week talking about what a great teammate Tom Brady is for getting Gronk the million. Oh, shut up. Oh, everybody, shut up and shut up, Gronk. Oh, Milly, you have more money than any of us know what to do with. And you need that Milly so bad. Get lost, honestly.
I actually find Gronk to be far more appetizing now, palatable now than he ever was. I think he's less.
Oh, he's a walking turd.
He's less outrageous and obnoxious than he was when he was young.
No, he's not.
He's not
the
on
same jerk.
He's not on crazy sex boats, and he's not doing all the gyrations of the end zone, and he's not doing poop. He's not doing that whole bit. He's 32 years old. He's more mature.
More mature? He just said, I'm going to have to get a regular job.
Well,
I mean,
do you think he's serious or is that a joke? Do you think he really thinks he's going to have to go out and make Subway sandwiches if he doesn't hit the million?
Obviously, it's a joke, but that's a really lousy joke to make and insulting knowing you're mic'd up for a game. That's a lousy joke to make for the regular fan pouring their money into this and you're, oh, I can't get this $1 million.
If Gronk had to have a real job, what real job could he go get?
Oh, he's clearly a construction worker somewhere that takes two-hour lunches, has to know somebody to get in the union he's in, really ticks off the foreman, that kind of guy.
You.
Is that a shot at Upside Down Mike?
Definitely.
It actually was not. It was not. I'm just picturing riding the Long Island Railroad with some of these, I'm going to call them turds too, where they just crush PBRs on the way home, have no respect for anybody trying to take a nap. They got their stupid boots on, their stupid dirty jeans on, their hands with all the crustiness on there. Ooh, blue collar. Ooh.
And how about the new contradiction? I see
You're a steam fitter. Take a lap.
All these guys have these little scooters now too, and you'd think they would normally beat up a guy on the scooter, but they've got their little scooter to get to their job site faster and quicker.
Seen that.
Yeah, it's an odd contradiction. Didn't see that one coming.
We get it. You like Carhartt hats. I mean, lose it.
You're a steam fitter. Take a lap.
You know, these guys you're talking about actually do contribute to society much more than you do.
Oh, I am not saying I contribute anything to society.
Okay.
I want to make that clear.
Okay.
My point is the very good ones get screwed over by the meatheads like Gronk.
Now, you are crapping all over, quote-unquote, blue collar right now. Weren't you the one in the Joe Judge rant that was like, I'm blue collar, this guy
yes,
speaks for me.
I am blue collar, oh. And I'm not crapping on the actual blue collar people. I'm talking about the people who want hand-me-outs, who climb ladders they don't deserve to climb, and then want to wave the blue collar flag, which is what Gronk would be. That's,
like
you asked me what he would be.
Steam fitters.
I just think steam fitters. I mean, if I see one more jacket that tells me you're a steam fitter. Do I wear a jacket saying producer? I mean, what do you do? Who cares?
Because you're not.
What do you fit in your steam?
You want a sidekick jacket? Personality?
Well, I do have a hat with my Twitter handle. I understand, but still.
Author, Football Food of the Week.
And P.S., Blue Collar should be a giant podcast title.
Oh!
That's right.
Yeah. Season 2, Gee Whiz, becomes Blue Collar.
That's the podcast.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Man. That's the podcast. You got to change Gee Whiz today.
I'm emailing corporate.
Wow.
Take my usual corporate. 2% of merchandise. Thank you.
So zero.
The Blue Collar podcast. Damn it.
Wow. That was great. Have you been sitting on that?
No, that just like that. Just popped in.
Another guy doing Sean's job.
I feel like Aiden.
That's so good.
Didn't we have another one that we really liked that you were sitting on?
Inconvenient Blues.
We did, and I already forgot it.
I still love that one.
Jolly Blue Giant? Did we settle on that?
No, I thought there was one less embarrassing, but maybe not.
Inconvenient Blue.
That's divine. That's like no other. Me and D think that's genius.
Shockingly,
and P hates it.
Shockingly, that's already taken.
Ho, ho, ho.
Blue Giant.
And finally, here's former Bears offensive lineman Olin Krutz, who is on Parkinson Spiegel on 670 The Score in Chicago. He is not happy with one of the Bears owners, technically Bears chairperson, George McCaskey, because McCaskey called Krutz a liar, and Krutz has claimed that he was offered a job for $15 an hour to help out the offensive line. Could you imagine an NFL team offering you $15 an hour to basically be a coach?
I called Ryan Pace, and I talked to Ryan Pace about it, because that's what guys do, right? Guys who are leaders, guys who are in charge, guys who are worried about their character, they call people and actually talk to them. And what George McCaskey should have said right there, because maybe the story didn't get to him, what he should have said is, maybe I need to talk to Harry and Ryan about what happened with Olin. Maybe this was a misunderstanding. If he had any respect for me, he would say that. I have respect for them and the organization. So what I actually do is I actually call people who are a part of the story instead of calling somebody who spent that long in your building, who played through injuries for you, who spent that much time trying to win football games for you, who now is a father of six, who coaches kids in football, who does all these things, who now is 44 years old, who now you haven't seen in 11 years, instead of calling the guy a liar and everything I say you take with a grain of salt. If that man would have said that to my face, we would have had a problem.
Again, Crutes said that 3 years ago, he's a former offensive lineman for the Bears, played there for a decade. He said the Bears offered him $15 an hour to be basically an offensive line consultant. And then McCaskey was like, no, he's lying. Now, I don't know why you would lie about that. Everybody in the NFL knows the Bears' ownership of the McCaskey family are super cheap. So you tend to believe Crutes. But either way, like, why, if you're one of the owners of the team, do you ever get into a war of words with a guy that played there for more than a decade? It just is. It shows sensitivity. It shows being ignorant to your fan base. It shows being disrespectful and unappreciative to your players, which is why the Giants and the Bears continue down this road of being iconic franchises in huge markets with unbelievable history that can't get out of their own way. The ownership stinks. And that is your sound check. Standing by with headline this morning is a kind sir, Andrew Bogus, AB. Good morning.
DA, good morning again. Headline sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Save when you bundle auto, home, or motorcycle insurance. Visit progressive.com. The longest active win streak in the NBA belongs to the Memphis Grizzlies.
Morant downhill around a Clark screen. Goes by Wiggins, lays it up on the window. Left-hand layup is good. And one.
Eric Hasseltine on Grizzlies Radio. Ja Morant, 29 points, 8 assists in a 116-108 decision over the Warriors. It's 10 in a row from Memphis, the longest run in franchise history. The Warriors, meanwhile, in the loss, got 27 points, 10 boards, and 10 assists from Steph Curry. Klay Thompson scored 14 in 20 minutes in his second game. The Clippers climbed out of a 25-point third-quarter hole and beat the Nuggets 87-85. The Suns snapped the Raptors' six-game win streak 99-95 in Toronto. The Wizards outscored the Thunder 122-118 after placing Bradley Beal in COVID protocols. And the Bulls hammered the Pistons 133-87. DeMar DeRozan, 20 points, 12 boards, 7 assists in just 27 minutes. A college poopy night for number one Baylor, 65-62 home losers to number 19 Texas Tech. The Bears' 21-game win streak dating back to last season is now over. Number five USC also taking its first loss, 75-69 at Stanford, but fourth-ranked Auburn got by number 24 Alabama, 81-77. Number 9 Kansas survived number 15 Iowa State, 62-61. As feared, Bama wideout Jamison Williams reportedly suffered a torn left ACL Monday night. He hadn't declared yet for the draft, but was considered the top available receiver.
Wow. So he was going to be the number one receiver taken and now torn ACL.
Yeah, although, I mean, you never know, but I mean, it's not the worst thing anymore. Where
that's
I don't
true.
Know that this should hurt him that much.
But the draft is in 3 months.
Right.
3.5 months. So it's a quick turnaround to keep that stock. But you're right. It's certainly not a career altering injury.
Right.
It just means that it might delay him. Could he come back? Does he have eligibility next year?
Yes, he could come back if he wanted to.
Okay.
Yeah.
So.
Don't feel bad if you couldn't stay up for the end of Raiders-Chargers on Sunday night. Mike Tomlin's playoff life hung in the balance, and even he dozed off.
I assumed that I had a work day waiting on me. I think at one point, Oakland was up by 15, and that number made you somewhat comfortable. I'm probably better off not having watched it.
I think that's a dollar in the fine jar for going with Oakland. Either way, the Chargers lost, put the Steelers in. Now they play in KC Sunday night. The Chiefs reportedly expect Tyreek Hill to play through his heel injury. Evgeny Malkin, 2 goals and an assist in his season debut following June knee surgery. His Penguins won in Anaheim 4-1. DA, back to you.
Bad news. Cap just dug it up. There's about 50 different podcasts called Blue Collar.
Dang it.
Bad news.
Gee whiz, it is.
Back to the drawing board.
Too bad you don't remember the one that I concocted.
Now,
that was a good one.
I think it is the Jolly Blue Giant.
No, I think there was something in between. Dig through the tapes. When we come back here on the show, the SEC now has Alabama and another national champion in Georgia and a former national champion in LSU with a new head coach. Let's talk about the power structure there and what it looks like when Texas and OU join. DA, CBS Sports Radio. Perez ate it up. I mean, just freaking ate it up.
Everyone did.
And yeah, he hit every buzzword. And so, Mraz, how optimistic are you today versus where you were 48 hours ago as you wear your New York Giants helmet on air?
Your fabric helmet.
I am more convinced than ever that we have a coach that will be here for two decades and stability has arrived.
Two decades?
He is 38 years old, Damon. Two decades only gets you to 58. Uh-huh. This guy is a football coach's football coach. It's no question.
DA on CBS Sports Radio. Ooh.
2 years ago, almost to the day, Mraz is incredibly optimistic, aggressive, and emotional rant about how the Giants had gotten it right with Joe Judge. They fired him yesterday. Thought he was in line for 20 years of Joe Judge. Take off the zero. You got two. Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Listen to us in podcast form, the full 4 hours, or the best of the show posted every single day. Just search the DA Show on your favorite podcast platform. The SEC now has Alabama, which is the king of the hill forever until Nick Saban leaves, maybe even after that. They have a newly minted national champion in the Georgia Bulldogs. LSU won a national title just two seasons ago. And now they have Brian Kelly, who's been a proven winner. They have Texas A&M, who is building what feels to be a Georgia-esque team that season by season they're catching up with Alabama, that are at minimum four schools in the conference that have a very credible case to go into each season, each, and say we can win a national championship. There's four now in the conversation. Now, LSU last year obviously was terrible, but because of their talent, they can basically every year feel that way if they get competent coaching. A&M's finally getting to that level, even though they've got to get past their bad loss thing. Florida used to be there. We can't put them there right now because we don't know what Billy Napier brings to the table. We saw Florida just totally tank last year. Ole Miss is really good. Ole Miss is at times very scary as a matchup, but they're not in the conversation where they can think about a national championship right now. Auburn's down at the moment, but there are four schools, and then your interesting teams in Tennessee, in Kentucky, in Ole Miss, and even Mississippi State right now. Arkansas is interesting. That make your life hell on a week-by-week basis. Oklahoma and Texas have had a conference to where they could collect all of the trophies if they ever had their ducks in a row. And OU did. Texas did not. They're entering a conference now that has a minimum of three schools every year and maybe four, possibly more, that could actually think we could win a national championship. Oklahoma and Texas are going from the kiddie pool to the Olympic-sized pool, and they don't know what's about to hit them. They don't know. Because they are a second or third-tier school in their new home in a couple of years now that Georgia has broken through.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.